Thanks for listening to Matt McLaughlin History. Become a subscriber to receive exclusive bonus episodes, ad-free listening, early access to all episodes, and special member-only events. Click on the link in the show notes or visit patreon.com/mmhistory.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
A Living History production.
This is the Living History Podcast, broadcasting live across the airwaves.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Living History, coming to you again from lockdown. And it's actually the first episode I'm recording in my brand new improvised recording studio in my bedroom. So I hope the sound quality is okay. We've all got to do what we can at this time to make the most of the situation. And so I'm recording the latest in a series of podcasts from home. And I'm really enjoying it. And I think this one's going to be a pretty special episode because Anzac Day is coming up. It's going to be an Anzac Day like none we've ever seen before. And I know that everyone out there will be feeling the loss of that ability to go out and commemorate Anzac Day. So I wanted to bring in someone to talk about what was going on in particular in France for Anzac Day this year, because it's pretty special. And my guest today is Dana Levy, who works for Northern France Tourism. It's her, what a fantastic job to represent the whole north of France, the Somme region, and much more, and to bring it to life for Australians. So, Dana, thank you very much for joining us to talk about Anzac Day.
Bonjour, Matt. Thank you, or should I say merci?
Dana, before we talk about Anzac Day in particular in France, tell us about the wonderful work that you do. What inspired you to want to do this work? And tell us about the great work that you do promoting the north of France.
Yeah, well, that's an easy one, Matt. What inspired me is when I knew how much the Australians had been coming more and more to the region of northern France, or as you said, particularly the Somme region, particularly after the 1914 to 1918 World War I centenary commemorations, I said, yeah, this is something that is really close to my heart and I'd be like honoured to get behind and to increase the exposure to more Australians to the region, to maintain and develop the bipartisan relations that we've had for so long. And it's something that I absolutely love doing.
So what sort of things are you doing to promote this wonderful region to Australians?
Well, the first thing is working with our tour operators who have been for a long time specialising in taking groups and individuals to the region. And you may have heard of Matt McLaughlin Tours.
That has come up in my daily life.
So we've been working very closely with Matt McLaughlin Tours, bringing more information and more material on the region. There are forever new sites being discovered and being opened to the public, which allows for Australians who have been to go back. And as you would know, Matt, many Australians go more than once to the region.
I think that's a really important point, Dana, and it's I love this new initiative we have from local areas on the battlefields to promote their destination. Flanders in Belgium has done it for many years, and now the north of France is doing it. And I think it's so important because those people know better than anyone the little treasures that their region holds, and there's just so many wonderful little sites that I think could get lost if it was just a French promotion of people saying, come to France and visit the battlefields. Is that what you find in your work?
Oh, absolutely. I was lucky enough to go there back in October, and every site and every museum and every memorial I went to, you meet the people and they all have a story, and their passion that comes through is just, it's quite incredible. And to try and relate that, I'm doing my best to try and relate that through partners such as Matt McLaughlin, because it's something sometimes it gets missed.
I should mention as well at this stage, Dana, that it's not just us that you work with. Obviously, we have a good working relationship, but you work with people all across the industry. It's really quite impressive to see the great work that Northern France is doing to bring these battlefields to life. And I wanted to ask you about that. How important is this story of ANZAC, the Australian involvement in the war? How important is that to the people of Northern France?
Look, it's something, honestly, Matt, that can't be measured, but it's only when you see it and you see how people are touched by it every year, and the more and more people attending the official ANZAC Day ceremonies. And when you speak to them and they say, they explain, it's because of the ANZACs that I'm standing here today. And it resonates with them. They don't forget it. They every year want to show their solidarity and pay their respects.
It's an interesting thing because it's certainly not universal. I've been to plenty of parts of France. In fact, the majority of France, I would say, where French people don't even realise that the Australians participated in the First World War. But in some of those key sites, particularly places like Villers-Bretonneux in the Somme or Mont-Saint-Quentin or Amiens, these specific places that anyone who's been to the battlefields would know very well, the Australians are absolutely revered. And I remember the first time I went to Villers-Bretonneux, probably 20 or 25 years ago, and walking through the streets. And it was in a time before a lot of Australian tourists came. And I remember an old man who was pushing a wheelbarrow came up to me, and I don't speak French very well, and he certainly didn't speak English, but he said to me, "Oh, Australian?" And I said, "Yes." And he was like, "Oh, merci, merci." And he shook my hand vigorously in the street, thanking me for something that men who were there, you know, 60 years before I was born, had done. So it's just such a wonderful experience as an Australian to go and feel how revered the Australians still are after all these years.
Absolutely. You absolutely nailed it, Matt, because I'm lucky enough to also have been to France and have lived there. And it's the region of Northern France where the affinity with the Australians and the respect that the locals have for the Australians, it's quite overwhelming. It really is. It's something unexpected for a first timer, even for people who have studied the history and know how entwined it is. Like I said, the welcome that the Australians are afforded, as you've just explained, it's very humbling, really very humbling.
Well, let's talk specifically about ANZAC Day, because for those who don't know, every year the French and the Australians combined hold a big ANZAC Day service at the National Memorial at Villers-Bretonneux. And now that's not going to go ahead this year, obviously. But Dana, you were telling me that there's an initiative that you've been very much behind that is taking off in the north of France. Just tell us about that and what the French people are going to do to commemorate ANZAC Day this year.
Yeah, well, that initiative started in Australia when a couple of veterans heard that the Australian government cancelled all official ceremonies open to the public. They decided, how can we honour the ANZACs? Well, let's all stand in our driveways at dawn as a show of respect. And a man by the name of Justin Wilbur got behind it. And today you have over 220,000 people and 100 countries following it, as I said, as a way of showing their respect. So I approached them and I said, I'd like to take this to France because the French people are missing out just like we are, and we'd like and I know that they would like to be part of the initiative. And the French communities, particularly in the Somme, have embraced it. The Val de Somme, which is part of, as you mentioned, Villers-Bretonneux, they had already taken their own initiative for the month of April to display Australian flags and Australian animals and letters from local students from the Victoria School in Villers-Bretonneux to display it in their windows as they're confined just like we are. And they've embraced this initiative too.
So just so I've got this right, so the people of France who obviously Anzac Day is not significant to them like it is to Australians, but these people are going to take the same opportunity that we are to stand in their driveways and not gather together, but stand out and show their respect at dawn on Anzac Day.
Yeah, absolutely. They've embraced it, whether it's at their door, at their windows, at their driveways, whatever they can do within the rules of confinement, they are there and they they're proud and honoured to be able to continue the Anzac Day tradition in whichever way they can, and as a show of solidarity in doing it the way the Australians will.
It's just a wonderful thought that, you know, I can't wait to see all the photos on social media that all these hundreds and potentially thousands of people that we, you know, have never met, many of us, will be out there commemorating Anzac Day alongside us and remembering men who died there a century ago but are still so important to them. I mean, I'm getting a bit choked up even just thinking about it. It's such an emotional tribute to play to Australian soldiers.
Well, it is. And particularly, I mean, through this movement, I've come across people in France, and there is in particular one local Frenchman who has no connection family-wise with the soldiers, but he lives in Amiens and he is absolutely passionate about respecting and showing showing his respect for the Anzacs who paid the ultimate sacrifice, and he appreciates that it's because of them that he's there.
You've been to all these parts of northern France, Dana, and walked the ground and seen all these Aussie sites. Just paint a picture for us. For those people who haven't been and seen some of those sites, what are the ones that most appeal to you? What are some of those emotive sites that have a real connection with Australia?
Oh, wow, there are so many. But what I think is the underlying point is that each site is a piece of a puzzle that together makes the whole experience so unique, because you have the big interactive sites such as the Sir John Monash Centre, which is absolutely incredible the way it's presented and the people there and all of the interactive things they have for people to take part in and to see and to find their family history. Or it could be a smaller site like Nauru. Nauru are these underground caves where the soldiers used to go to visit for respite, but they left their name on these caves. And when these caves were discovered, they managed to track back these soldiers and their families. And then, of course, you've got the big the cemeteries like the lost diggers of Fromelles. So each site is so incredibly different, which makes the visit every time you go somewhere different so much more enriching.
What about the future, Dana? What do you think do you think this relationship between the north of France and Australia is going to endure after COVID, after this is all finished? Is this a long-term relationship you can see in the future?
Oh, absolutely. All I hear from people is next year we want to be back in France, you know, commemorating with our French compatriots, commemorating at the memorials and long term, absolutely, because it's the younger people and their children who are so involved now, which is just resonates with what is so important about keeping the Anzac spirit alive.
Well, Dana, thank you for joining us to talk about it. It's just such a wonderful initiative, and I think everyone is going to be touched by the thought that the people of France are going to be paying their respects on Anzac Day as well as we are out here. And thank you for your work in making this happen, because I know that these sorts of initiatives don't occur without passionate people driving them. So I'm sure I speak for everyone when I thank you for your hard work in bringing this initiative to life as well.
Thank you so much, Matt, and thank you for having me. It's my absolute pleasure.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned, We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.